from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Lunch hour of Gresham Fourier. We're out of here in a skosh over an hour to hand it off to Red Sox baseball. Arcan's got the pregame coming up at 1:10 here on the Shaws and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network. But joining us now, and no, you don't get to look at him with the sleeveless shirt on Twitch or anything like that, because he is on his way to the afternoon practice. Apparently the heat is going to be cranked up between 1 and 3. So I guess that's why we got the old practice today. And Andy Hart of WEEI.com is with Gresham Fourier. Hart, how are you?
Is he there?
Oh, hold on.
Wait, is that him? Nope, was that his picture, by the way?
I missed hitting the button. Hart, how are you?
Did you call me crazy earlier? Do I really? Do you really think I'm crazy?
Yeah. Well, there's a photo of you with a full beard and LA Dodgers hat, and it looks like you had
it in the woods.
It must have been your COVID look.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I liked that look. Yeah, I liked that look. Crazy. I might go back to that someday.
No, you think we all have one of those. We all have a crazy COVID look. Yeah.
Absolutely. It was a crazy time. You're supposed to look crazy. No one knew what the hell was going on. Of course we did.
I was going to say, and we do now, but then another story for another time.
Indeed.
Fourier and I, Hart, were talking about some certain position groups earlier today. Everybody's focused on the quarterbacks and the offensive line. We dug in a little bit on the wide receivers, and let me start with this. What kind of season are you expecting for Jalen Polk?
I'm expecting a good, not great season. I'm expecting, I mean, if you want numbers, I think a nice year for a rookie like him is probably 40-something catches for 500 yards and a sprinkling of touchdowns in there. You know, I think he is, my comp for him is Jacoby Myers. And the only problem is Jacoby Myers was able to do what he did and be a sort of revelation as an undrafted player. Jalen Polk's a second-round pick. And in the NFL, second-round pick wide receivers, I think there's just inherently higher expectations. But I've seen a guy that seems pretty consistent. I'm not sure he creates a lot of, I'm not sure there's a lot of catch. But I think he will show the ability to find openings and catch the football enough to have a solid rookie season.
So it's now that camp is, I guess, it is over, right? Technically, it's officially over. Where are we at with like camp? Like, that's done, right?
I think they're considering camp this week still. I mean, we have full media access. So I think if they declared camp over, then we would just go to, like, stretching and attendance and that kind of stuff.
Okay, so you're still able to be at the entire practice.
Absolutely. I'll be there from 1 to 3 today. Yep.
Okay. So what would be the first thing you're going to look for then?
The first thing I'm going to look for generally is the offensive line. What are they doing? Who's where? Because I think that is the story of the team heading into the season, the fatal flaw. I think for a lot of people, that's the story of the other big story, the quarterback position. It's like, well, this line stinks, and you can't put May out there. And then the flip side is, well, Jacoby can't run. He's going to get killed. Do you not care about him? Like, so I think the offensive line is the first place I look. And then generally I do look at wide receiver because I think it's arguably the most interesting or competitive position. Not great, but, I mean, Kayshon Boutte has quietly had a nice summer. And I think maybe, you know, last year he was the wild card, the red flags, the maturity questions. Now that guy has become Javon Baker, and it's like Boutte can kind of just do his thing. The gambling thing, I think, is behind him. So him, Tyquan Thornton, then you got the boring guys like Polk and K.J. Osborne, who's had a quiet summer. You got Demario Douglas. So, yeah, once I check the offensive line, I usually look at receiver.
Andy Hart from WEEI.com with Gresh and Fourier. Of course, Hart, a part of the Six Rings crew on the post-game show and the Six Rings podcast. One of the guys that you didn't mention a wide receiver was Javon Baker. Are we still in the era here in New England of, okay, you were a fourth-round pick, we're not going to cut you? Is that just get him on the roster? Because to this point, Hart, no one can argue that the guy has earned a roster spot if he gets one.
Yeah, no, I think he'll be on the roster. Combination of fourth-round pick, but also combination of talent and upside, and also just realization of, I think they knew what they were drafting. I think they knew they were drafting a guy with sort of that diva wide receiver makeup, which comes with upside and talent and playmaking and funny quotes on draft weekend, and also comes with maturity questions and work ethic questions and consistency questions. And, you know, I think we've seen all those warts this summer on the practice field, and you see, you know, the physical warts. You know, he's had the opportunity to make a bunch of plays for Drake May. And as a Drake May fan, a guy who wants to see Drake May play and develop faster, I can tell you I have mumbled under my breath at practice, come on, Baker, make an effing play for your quarterback. And he just hasn't done it often enough. So, yeah, no, I think he'll be on the roster. I think he'll be on the bottom of the roster, just like he's on the bottom of the depth chart right now. He's getting third-team reps at times in practice. And they're going to expect him to work his way up and prove something to earn more than that.
See, I thought that you were going to say the first thing you look at is where's David Andrews and where's Drake May? Because I feel like whoever is taking snaps with and hanging out with David Andrews is like the obvious sign of that's who the quarterback's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's some of that because that is the biggest story, obviously, Christian. Like, who's the quarterback going to be? Do we have a starting quarterback?
Did we force the story, though? Do you think we kind of forced it a little bit, like, prematurely? Like, it was really, like Jacoby Brissett was really in trouble?
No, I think he's in trouble. He hasn't played well. And I said to Rich Keefe last night when we did the very, very long one-hour Rich Keefe show that I think right now Jerod Mayo is probably really hoping Jacoby Brissett looks really good against Washington in Washington so that there can be a sigh of like, okay, we can start this guy for a couple weeks. Because quite honestly, to me, the reason for the discussion is not the Drake May development. It's the piss-poor play at times of Jacoby Brissett. You know, obviously the poster for that is that interception forcing it to Hooper in the end zone, but there's been too many missed throws to practice field and game field, and just dumb, almost like rookie mistakes at times. And to me, that more than May has opened the door. So I don't think we've forced it. And if anything, Jerod, and now I know he's still learning what to say, what not to say, for him to say we don't have a starting quarterback, okay, well, that means there's multiple guys up for the job because in places like where Aaron Rodgers is or whatever, C.J. Stroud, or even in Chicago and Washington, they say they have a starting quarterback. So if the head coach says we don't have a starting quarterback, pretty sure we can, as media members, speculate as to who the starting quarterback is going to be. I think he opened that door.
Well, there's a press conference at 12:30. I'm sure things will swing right back the other way because it's a different day, so we never know which way Mayo is leaning, for God's sakes. How do you view Tyquan Thornton heading into this final preseason game?
Ultimate wild card. Ultimate wild card. I think he's had a solid summer. He missed, you know, after I told you guys in one of our live hits from the ramps up there that I thought he was the best receiver through the first 6, 7, 8 practices, whatever the hell it was, then he misses time with a soft tissue injury, which, you know, sucks for a guy like him that's trying to prove he can get on the field, stay on the field, and do his job. Then in the first game, he's open down the sideline, and what we just talked about, Jacoby Brissett misses him. I think if Jacoby Brissett hits him in stride and Tyquan Thornton catches whatever the hell it would have been, 55-yard touchdown pass, that changes the perception of him. Because he did it on the practice field yesterday. You know, he's toasting, or 2 days ago, he's toasting Christian Gonzalez for a 45-yard gain, but that's not as valuable as everybody seeing it on the preseason game field. So I still think he's the ultimate wild card because I think he's had a pretty good summer. A good summer, not even pretty good. A fine plus summer, to use my term that I've dubbed for Drake May. I think he's been fine plus, but no one cares until he puts shoulder pads and helmet and game pads on and goes out on a game field and does it on a game field. Until he proves that, everybody's going to consider him a question mark or a wild card or whatever term you want to label him.
Hey, so Andy, which room do you think is worse, the receiver room or the O-line room?
Ooh, good question. Oh.
I'm going to say offensive line. I think the offensive line room is the worst room on the team. I mean, you go out there with missing two tackles. You don't have two starting tackles, so 40% of your starting jobs you can't feel good about. And then you don't have any depth at the center position. We've seen that the wheels fall off, you know, especially if Nick Leverett, who is being kind of morphed into that backup center, but when he's not out there, then it really becomes just an absolute poop show on the practice field and the game field. So yeah, like at least at wide receiver, I can talk myself into DeMario Douglas catching 100 balls or talk myself into Jalen Polk being good enough to be a complimentary weapon. They're never going to have the number one, so that, you know, the number one offensive lineman is a left tackle. You're never going to have that this year. The number one wide receiver is like, you know, A.J. Brown or one of those. You're never going to have that at receiver, so that crosses each other out. But I think the competitive depth after that is much stronger at the wide receiver position.
Well, I think when we kind of learn how stubborn Elliott Wolf really is with his signings, in that, you know, what is Okorafor? Are you really going to get him in there at right tackle? Are you going to force Wallace in at left tackle? To me, Hart, it will be very curious to see how the team operates. And really, with cutdown day right around the corner and possible trades that could be made, will Elliott Wolf just kind of stick to it and say, nope, this is my group for better or worse because we're in development mode? Or does he look at it and say, nah, we're below average, I got to go get somebody?
Yeah, and can you get somebody? Because that's the other thing. And this isn't totally new. This isn't totally new to Elliott Wolf. Like, we've seen this the last few years. Remember, was that 2 years ago? They traded with the Bills, brought a guy in, and then, like, he was cut in week one and a first offensive lineman. And last year it was the Tyrone Wheatley guy who never really did anything that they brought in. So they've been doing this at the end of August for years now because the depth just hasn't been there. Hell, they've been doing it during seasons. Connor McDermott, remember when he became like a revelation? Bill said something to the effect of like, thank God we have him in December. And it's like, holy crap, we're saying thank God about Connor McDermott. That's how bad things are at the tackle position. So I just, you know, I always say this, Gresh, and you should love this. You know, we fixate on not enough quarterbacks to go around. You know, on any given year, the NFL might have 20 starting quarterbacks and the other 12 teams are like, well, we need to find a quarterback. There's not enough offensive linemen to go around, and that's actually a bigger problem long-term because I think there's fewer and fewer athletic fat kids that want to bang heads for 2 hours a day in high school and college. I really do. I think that's a long-term football problem, but there's not enough left tackles to go around. There's going to be plenty of guys that play left tackle in the NFL this year that flat-out stink, and there's probably going to be a few of them in New England.
Yeah, so listen to this real quick because maybe you saw this, maybe you didn't. Field Yates came with out with his, like, you know, obviously way too early 2025 NFL mock draft 1.0.
Yep.
Okay. And
yep.
then he has the Patriots landing the number one overall pick, right?
Love
and
it.
Trading it to the Giants for the number six overall pick, and then taking a cornerback, Michigan cornerback Will Johnson, skipping and passing up on a offensive tackle. Your thoughts on that real quick before we let you go.
I hate it. I liked it. I love the idea. You get the number one pick. You trade the number one pick to a team that wants a quarterback. Love it, love it, love it. Right up until the selection of a cornerback.
Yeah.
I don't really get it. We already did that. I mean, I know the theory is, oh, if you have two cornerbacks, you're going to be a shutdown defense. A, you won't be, because that's not true. And B, you need a left tackle. And I don't want to force the left tackle. And you said it, Christian, it's way too early. But this Will Campbell kid out of LSU, everybody is right now telling me, heading into this year, that he is like a generational, a top 5 to 10 left tackle that doesn't give up sacks. He's strong, like the whole thing. And I'm sorry, if that guy is there, you have to take him. I would say the same thing, by the way, if Marvin Harrison was on the draft board this year, a true generational wide receiver, a guy that people really think is head and shoulders above everybody else at receiver, I could consider that. But the cornerback thing, it doesn't make any sense to me unless, I mean, are we going to say that Christian Gonzalez stinks at corner and is being moved
to free
safety?
Yeah, you got to replace
him. Right, maybe. Maybe this Will Johnson would be your number one corner, and now we move Gonzalez to safety, but I just don't think you win with defense. We're talking about the offensive line for a reason. You need a tackle. If there's a tackle close to worth the pick or worth the pick, you take the damn tackle. Don't overthink it.
Yeah, let's just put it on the board now. Like, we're talking about
Absolutely.
The draft, the 2025 draft now, and it's still August. All right.
It is what it is.
Here's to a great year.
We're on the road to Green Bay.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, and that is Andy Hart. He is on the road to Gillette, where Gerard Mayo will be speaking in mere moments. Hart, we'll catch up with you soon, buddy. Thank you.
See you, boy. Thanks.
All right, there goes Andy Hart. Gerard Mayo is scheduled to speak at 12:30, but you know what, Foyer?
What's
maybe,
up?
Just maybe, if you watched Hard Knocks last night, there might have been a little bit of an Easter egg in there that maybe Matthew Judon didn't have a big choice to make after all. We've got the audio coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're out of here 1:10 today for Red Sox baseball. Arcan's got you on the pregame coming up. Make sure you subscribe to the Gresh and Fauria podcast. go to the Odyssey app or WEEI.com. Drop our content right into the device of your choice. And then you can listen to us not only whenever you want, but wherever you want, of course, through the Odyssey app. Gerard Mayo's press conference is scheduled to begin in a few minutes. We will break in when they go to it. But first, remember we heard that Matthew Judon had the choice, Fourier,
yeah,
of going to either Chicago or Atlanta. I know I questioned the ability of giving Judon that opportunity, but sometimes you just got to hear from the other side to say maybe the decision was pretty easy. On last night's Hard Knocks, following around the Chicago Bears, folks, their general manager, Ryan Poles, you'll hear him talking to Kevin Warren, who is the president of that Bears organization. And then there's one other guy they're talking to as well. But sounds like if Matt Judon wanted to go to Chicago, he really needed to sign a contract to do so in listening to this.
So we did a Judon conversation today. Now, he only played four games, hit a bicep. So just from an analytics standpoint, kind of where he's at, so just wins at it, he's 50th among defensive ends, to put in perspective, Sweat's 14th. We believe he would help us get better. Just his style, we think having a bicep rather than like a lower body injury, he still would play to the same intensity and explosion as we did before. It does come with risk, though, at 32.
He's got some things working, huh?
Yeah.
Think we'll get it over the finish line?
I do.
Yeah.
Our language is basically saying if the contract's not signed, then he reverts back to New England.
Gotcha.
So, cover, so.
We get?
It'd be three. So all that would happen fast.
Yeah, okay. So. Just keep posted.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Poles has met New England's asking price of a third-round pick. But unless Judon agrees to a contract extension with the Bears, Chicago won't make the deal.
That's the part we let that they whatever was linked early in the week about Judon. Like, now you know the truth.
So now you know what it is? It's the whole bull crap of the, well, look how we treat people here.
Yeah.
What a load of crap.
We gave him an option.
It's business. Yeah. It is the business of the NFL. Yeah. We'll revisit this. Here's Gerard Mayo. All right. So there you go.
All right.
The latest from Gerard Mayo.
Well, what stood out to you? What was the problem with that?
Yeah,
he answered every single question.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Well, you know, Christian, whenever we make these roster decisions, you know, it's collaborative. But really, at the end of the day, it's Elliott's call. So then, is it collaborative or not? I mean, really. And by the way, said it at the end the whole, basically when they said, whose decision is it on the quarterback? AVP, me, Elliott, and then we'll ask the offensive staff. Jesus God, how many people do you need to ask as to which guy's going to be the starting quarterback? Like, honestly, well, Troy, I guess Troy Brown gets a vote.
Yeah.
Does Matt Slater get a vote?
Oh, absolutely.
Is it secret ballot like on Survivor? Does goddamn Jeff Prost need to come in and say, and they draw the names out of the thing as to who voted, who the quarterback's going to be? How about the OC and the head coach? How about that? And then with a little bit of Elliott Wolf thrown in there. But that's where, again, if it's collaborative and everybody's got a say, then Mayo should have some say with personnel. And even as he just contradicted himself there, then I'd like to think that the coach and the offensive coordinator might be able to say to Elliott Wolf, here's the guy we want to go with. Do you have any objections? Geez. Why is this? Someone put in the Twitch chat, why is he so non-committal? I think it was Stash and Beard of Sir Gresh or somebody who threw that in there. And it's just, you know what? At this point, honest to God, I mean, why even analyze this? He's all over. Well, right now we're back to Jacoby as the starter. All right, then. Great. Maddening because I can deal with being consistently inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say, boy, can't we just lump all the quarterback questions together? How about this? How about a little bit of consistent brand messaging when it comes to the quarterbacks, and you probably won't get 50 questions on it.
Well, I feel like at the end, I don't know who it was, but I feel like they re-asked a question again to almost get like a form of clarity.
Yeah, he said, I'd like to think, as someone just texts in, I like to think I have the final decision as to who's on the field. I mean, is that even up for conjecture?
I don't think it is.
He sure as hell made it sound that way, didn't he?
Well, I'd have to go back and listen to it again. You can too on the Odyssey app. It's real simple to do. Was it like, how did you hear it? Did you hear it as a, well, I'd like to think I have something to do with who plays on the field?
I would like to think that the head football coach who's been running things down there would already know that, whether he does or doesn't. I'd like to think that. But then again, with this guy and the whole committalness, that's the part that gets me.
This lane that they want to stay in, that they chose from the very beginning to be different and to express that everything is collaborative. Like, it does just make it so wishy-washy in the end because, okay, so if you're telling me you're the head coach and Elliot Wolf says, I don't want you to play him week one, why? I think he's ready. So what do you, like, draw straws? Do you, like, a Rochambeau? Like, how do you actually decide? And then who has the final say ultimately? Because even, like, even Bill says this. He just said it on Monday. Because it takes two people to run an organization. Mm-hmm. You have somebody doing all the GM stuff. You have somebody running the team. But in the end, one guy has to make the decision. I will ask your opinion. I will ask your opinion. But ultimately, I'm going to decide. I am going to decide. Because it can't be. You can't sit there. Because what if you disagree? Does it have to be a court of three? Right? So it's got to be an odd number.
You need a tiebreaker. Got to be an odd.
Yeah, so there's a tie. So in case there is a tie, so-and-so, and we'll draw straws because we want to give everybody a chance, that person gets to make the final say.
And even if Mayo just said, that'll be a small group making that decision. Great. Now it sounds like it's opened up for, well, we're going to run it by the front office, and maybe Matt Groh will get some, and then, you know, we got to go to the assistant offensive line coach. Hey, what do you think? You've been standing around watching asses all the time, you know?
Yeah, hey, I haven't heard your opinion lately. What do you think I should do?
You know what? But that's what it sounds like, does it not? When in reality, it's like, okay, who are the people that are making the decisions there?
The players that go on the field, I would think I would have final say, but.
But what? Does he not know that he has the final say on people going in and out of a football game?
I think he was going to go into like the actual answer to the question at that. I just kind of grabbed it quick.
Well, then play the whole thing.
Wow, look at him yelling at you.
No, but I'm just saying.
The players that go on the field, I would think I would have final say. But once again, I know I've used this word a lot. We will collaborate on that.
I can't. I'm done with the word.
Again, it's the whole.
I'm done. It's, you know what it is? Here's what's happened with collaborative. It has lost its meaning.
Yes.
I don't know what it means anymore.
It means different than Bill.
No. Well, ultimately, like, that's, big picture.
I think that's a part of the reason why that word just keeps getting shoved down our throat.
I don't know what it means. I don't. It's very confusing. Well, at least the way they use it is confusing. And even when you got all, and since he's opened up the door, he's not closing it now.
Yeah.
Those guys swarm, and those ladies, they swarm around him, and it's just one after the other. You ask a question, and they go back around because they weren't really sure how you answered it was even correct. They couldn't understand it. So let me ask it again. Let me come back to the quarterbacks. He says, oh, we're going back to the quarterbacks again. We got to lump all these together. Well, because I don't know what you're saying.
And where does collaboration begin and end? Is Elliot Wolf going to sit in on game plan? Or does the game plan have to be run by Elliot Wolf?
You know what? That's the question that needs. When it comes to fourth quarter, like you know, a short yardage decisions. Should I go for it or should I not go for it? Does Elliot Wolf have a say in that? Will you check with him? Will he have a little red phone up at the suite that he's sitting in? Will you pick it up and he says, yeah, I think it's a good idea to go for it now?
Right.
Is that what we're going to do?
I'd love to trust Mayo on the whole go with what you see and play who you want. And then again, there is the, well, you know, hopefully I have the say. Anyway, there's the latest from Gerard Mayo. Practice is going on. I did not snap at Nick. All I did was, hey, play the whole thing for context.
I'm going to need to be traded to a different team.
Oh, that's right. I'm your Brian Flores. Is that the deal?
Oh, that's what it is.
Oh,
you're a terrible
God.
Person. That's, I knew it'd come out.
Well, big deal, no big deal is next.
All right, big deal, no big deal. Let's get this in here real quick before we break. Give me a hand it off for the Red Sox game. All right, so Anthony Edwards is having a pretty good pretty good summer, pretty good postseason, right? Had won an Olympic gold medal. He did an interview with the Wall Street Journal, Gresh, and in the interview, they asked him how his generation of basketball players compared to the ones that came before, which is like, you know, obviously a regular talking point in the NBA against talking heads. Here's what he said. You tell me if you think this is a big deal or not. Quote, said, I didn't watch it back in the day, so I can't speak on it, Edwards said. They say it was tougher back then than it is now, but I don't think anybody had skill back then. Michael Jordan was the only one that really had skill. You know what I mean? So that's why when they saw Kobe Bryant, they were like, oh, my God. But nah, nobody had skill. Big deal, no big deal.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal. That's sort of a... That's sort of looking back with revisionist history and being like, oh, Mark Price couldn't jump out of the gym, so therefore Anthony Edwards must be better. You know what I mean? Like, the game was a little different. It has evolved. There are different skill sets that, you know, like with big men where, you know, it used to be find me a big guy like Shaq. Now it's find me a big guy like Jokic, but that doesn't mean they weren't skilled.
I think it's just, it's like one of the dumbest things I've ever
short-sighted
heard.
Short-sighted silliness.
Me Michael Jordan was the only one who had skill. And people started recognizing Kobe Bryant because he was the only one since Michael Jordan to have skill. So they're like, holy cow, he has skill.
Well, the closest thing to Michael Jordan that we've seen is Kobe Bryant. Because LeBron's a different player than Michael, as great as he is.
I was trying to think about what a dumb comment this was. In the first hand, he's like, I don't want to speak on something that I haven't seen. He never saw Michael Jordan, but then he proceeds to answer the question. So you're telling me none of those guys could hit mid-range jumper? None of them could dribble the ball? None of them, like, what does he consider what skill like him? Like, listen, he's a popular player. He's talkative. He's obviously opinionated. But that was one of the dumbest comments I think I've ever heard him say.
Yeah, he's also 21.
Well, that's my point. Like, they don't have skill. What do you mean they don't have skill? I mean, I was going to start listing off, like, players that had skill in his opinion. Like, I started with Allen Iverson, and I was like, I'm done. I'm not even doing it because he's not going to respect it anyways. It's like the dumbest comment I've ever heard in my life.
You know what? That's what it is. Let's remember Anthony Edwards, with all of the talent on the Olympic team, also said, yeah, I'm the number one option, to which all those veterans were like,
worth it.
Shut up, kid.
Yeah. I know. Honest to God, yeah, like how many times were they like, dude, go get your shine box.
Yeah,
nobody's even taking you seriously.
Exactly.
All right. Take this seriously. You let me know if you think this is a big deal.
Okay.
So we've talked about this before. Happy Gilmore 2. Okay, in the works. I actually saw a long line out in Boston the other day of people trying to be in the movie. But Adam Sandler has confirmed that Travis Kelce, Gresh, will make a major cameo in the movie. Big deal, no big deal.
I'm torn on this because I feel like the movie is just going to be rubbish and that the movie would be no big deal. So I guess I'll lean no big deal on this one.
Yeah, I'm with you because I do think they're going to destroy it. It's going to suck. There's no way that this movie could be any good whatsoever.
Landman, where are you on this Happy Gilmore 2? Will this be utter trash?
No, I'm going into it low expectations.
Okay.
So anything positive is a good thing, and it's on Netflix, so I already pay for Netflix, so it's not like I got to schlep to the theaters and pay $20 to see it.
The thing that is interesting, though, Travis Kelce, it's almost like he's preparing for, you know, post-football life. So he is also going to be hosting a show on Amazon called Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? Now, there is...
God, there are just no ideas anymore.
Well, they're biting the idea, are you smarter than a fifth grader?
So, yeah,
that's the old TV show, right?
But is it going to be like the celebrities that you would get like on the back end of Dancing with the Stars? Or is it, are you smarter than the Hawk Tua girl?
No, that's a good point. No, you're going to be like, you ever seen The Surreal Life?
I'm aware of
it. VH1 show. It's like, so like not even B actors. We're talking C actors.
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe Danny Hawk Tua.
Danny Bonaducci and
yeah,
stuff
no,
like that.
He was on every single.
You're gonna drag him off of World's Dumbest.
First season of Breaking Bonaducci on VH1 was awesome.
Not bad.
He was insane.
He was capped.
I
mean, is he dead? Is he even alive?
No. He's still with us. And I'm saying he's still insane.
So you tell me if you think this is a big deal or not, because this is right in your wheelhouse. Okay, two of the things, one of the things that you love more than anything, and something else that you hate more than anything.
Oh, boy, people.
So, no, funny. No, it's not an actual, what is a person? It is a person.
Oh, okay.
It is a person.
That's
technically
a long list.
Okay, so a bettor at BetMGM wagered $10,000 on your Colorado Buffalo football team.
So stupid.
To win the Big 12 at plus, 2,500. If they win the bet, if they win, they will win $250,000. Big deal, no big deal.
I mean, it is no big deal because literally what that guy just did was he took that money, he grabbed a Bic, he lit it on fire, and then he got a ticket for it that could give him something. Colorado,
if you had like discretionary income, they said, listen, take this $10,000. You have to bet it on something. Right. And this is call it a fun bet. I'm giving it to you. But there's rules. You can't be like wise about it. You got to be a little careless.
Five leg opening weekend parlay. Put all 10 grand on it. I would be into that. Where are all the people telling us like last year that Deion's a really good coach?
They don't exist.
I don't see the texters or Twitch anymore telling us that, hey, Ed Deion, he knows what he's doing. You guys are the idiots.
I saw this. Like, this guy literally should just throw it in the trash and walk away from it. Oh, that's big deal, no big deal.
Although, I'll take Travis Hunter now if I can get my hands on him.
Oh, he'll be a top five pick.
He can play.
The question is, how overdrafted is Shedeur Sanders, Deion Sanders' son?
Well,
very overdrafted.
Maybe the number two pick if Drake May doesn't work out. Who knows? Anyway.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.